I'm Carlos Virgen, and this is The Storyline, produced by The Day in New London, Connecticut.
This week, I talk to reporters about stories they're working on or recently wrote and ask them to give us a quick overview and to let us know why these stories might have some impact on our local communities.
So I returned this week from Europe, and I've been catching up on some of the things that I missed. One of those things was last week's dump truck rollover crash on Route 85 in Waterford. It actually came to my attention when an anonymous tipster said that the DOT workers and contractors on scene had to run for their lives as this dump truck careened toward them. Naturally, something that I wanted to follow up on. Yesterday I contacted police. I got a hold of the crash report. It did confirm that indeed DOT flaggers were running for their lives as this truck was rolling toward them. And it added some other interesting details too. So basically what happened was a car and a dump truck were headed toward a construction zone. The car didn't stop for the flagger until the very last minute. The dump truck was too close at that point, couldn't stop, clipped the left back side of the car, swerved to the left, then swerved back to the right, flipped over. And that's at the point where the DOT flaggers are kind of like, oh my God, this truck is about to hit me, running for their lives. But the interesting thing is that it turns out neither driver in this crash had a valid license. So there's that. But I think for all of us, it should be kind of a wake-up call. We see a lot of construction zones, and maybe we get a little bit immune to that kind of thing, but really we should start slowing down a lot earlier, probably, because this one could have been a lot worse.
So there's this tree in Monville, right on Route 163, that for the last 16, 17 years has been decorated anonymously. There's a father and daughter team, Jeff Roderick in his 60s, and his daughter, Teresa Quibble. And for the last, more than a dozen years, they've been going out late at night or early morning and decorating this roadside tree, much to the delight of Montville locals and just people driving by every single year. They say it's giving them a smile on their face when they drive by. Last year, Martha Shanahan wrote a story that basically was their coming out. They announced that it was them this whole time. A lot of people already kind of knew, but they announced it. They said that it was getting a little bit dangerous because it's kind of a busy stretch of road. Sure enough, that story garnered a lot of attention. Some people were sad. Some people were kind of delighted that they found out finally who it was. Jeff told me that there were people that he had known for years that had no idea. For the last couple of years, people have been leaving cards and poetry and gifts and ornaments on this tree, just showing their appreciation for the anonymous decorators. Sure enough, we got a tip, and I think it was over Facebook, that somebody decorated the tree this year. So sure enough, I drove out there and there are bulbs, there's ornaments, and it's this perfectly shaped, trimmed tree. And somebody's out there doing it. I don't know who, but Jeff and Teresa are both very, very happy and pleased and flattered. They're kind of honored. But they warn people, be careful. Be careful. It's a busy stretch of road.
State Department of Transportation is working on a $26 million project to repair the southbound side of the Gold Star Bridge. The project began in April, and it's scheduled to be completed at the end of November 2018. And throughout this project, lanes have been closed on the bridge. So the DOT recently announced that a new lane configuration will be in place by the end of the weekend. And essentially, drivers will now be traveling on the left side of the bridge, and the lanes will be newly paved. And then the right side of the bridge will be closed and sealed off with a concrete barrier. So they're essentially flipping the current configuration. So because this project requires different configurations on the bridge, we've been writing updates announcing each time the lane configuration changes. This is the longest bridge in the state of Connecticut, and tens of thousands of people drive across it each day. And for the for this current lane change, the DOT will be working over this weekend to move barriers and do line striping. So they the DOT is telling people they should expect some delays, especially on Friday, and to drive slowly, follow the signs. There will be police on site. There will be a tow truck stationed there. And all these activities will depend on the weather. There is some possible snow forecast over the weekend, so the crews are trying to beat any of those bad conditions.
So there's been a lot going on with Groton Schools this week, and there will continue to be a lot going on with Groton Schools. Part of that is just with the Groton 2020 project. There's a permanent school building committee meeting tonight, December 7th, so they're talking about the project for the new middle school. But along with everything that's been ongoing, something new this week is the resignation of one board member, that is Gary Baker. And it's kind of interesting how I found out about this. I had been attending some Board of Ed meetings, and after attending several, I thought, huh, there's this one member I haven't met yet. So I gave him a call on Tuesday evening, just wondering, you know, hey, where have you been at these meetings? What's keeping you away? And the first thing he tells me is, oh, I actually put in my resignation last week. So that didn't, it sounds like not everyone kind of found out about it yet, because the Board of Ed chair knew, but she was waiting to talk about it a bit more until after she got official word from the town clerk. And even though the letter was signed November 28th, the town clerk's office didn't receive the resignation letter until December 4th. I looked through meeting minutes from 2017, which are very easily publicly available. Most of them are on the website, and they list the members who are present and absent at every meeting. And I saw that Gary Baker attended fewer than 40% of the regular Board of Ed meetings, special Board of Ed meetings, and Committee of the Whole meetings this year. And he missed 16 of the last 17. So whatever his reasons for not coming, that is why he decided to resign. He said that he thought someone should be able to, you know, really commit 100%. On Monday, the 11th, there's this special meeting, in which case this vacancy will be on the agenda. And then after that vacancy is on the agenda, they're going into their Committee of the Whole meeting, which just means everyone's there and they discuss, but they can't vote. Voting is only for the regular or special Board of Ed meetings. So, but on that agenda for the Committee of the Whole meeting, Superintendent Michael Grenier will be discussing his proposals or recommendations for the budget, because what happened is, since Groton was named an Alliance District with the new state budget, that means it has to receive the same amount of town funding this year as it did last year. And that had not been the case in the town budget process. So Groton is going to have $1.6 million to put back in its school budget. And there's a penalty if the town doesn't. The superintendent was telling me that it's a 200% penalty from the state for next year's budget cycle if they don't do that this year. So I haven't gotten his numbers yet for the plans of what money is going where, but he said he'll send that to me at the end of this week, and then we'll see what the board members have to say at their meeting on Monday night.
Back in October, the town of Ledyard received news that there would be additional cuts to state aid, hovering around $1.5 million, a lot of it in education cost sharing. So they immediately started working on where are we going to trim the fat on what was already a pretty tight education budget. The Board of Education managed to whittle out about $500,000 on their own in advance, and there was a lot of talks going in about how they would trim the rest of the deficit. From there, it kind of looked at a few options, including teacher furlough days, which would save $170,000. The teachers accepted those on Monday, which in theory should help avoid massive teacher layoffs, which was kind of the big fear going into this. So what kind of happens next, though, is they still have an outlying over $500,000 to figure out. So the Board of Education Finance Committee and the Town Council Finance Committee are meeting tonight to figure out what else they're going to do. There's kind of the looming possibility is that they may have to send out a supplementary tax bill to residents, which is kind of the last case scenario and the big thing that has people worried. Is really the thing that most Ledyard residents really care about.
So I have a story that's going to be in the paper this weekend and on our website. That is about a project that two Connecticut College professors have been working on For several years, actually, they've been running focus groups and doing surveys and interviewing people about their level of access to resources for older people and for seniors, things like transportation or help with healthcare, and identified a sort of lack of information about that stuff, particularly for the Hispanic population in New London. There's sort of a lack of information in Spanish or that is, you know, accessible to people who don't necessarily go or frequent the senior center. I found out about it in a sort of roundabout way. We get a lot of emails from PR professionals who are paid to sort of put people and ideas in front of reporters' eyeballs. And a communications person from Connecticut College had emailed me with the contact information for one of the professors involved, suggesting that she might be a good person to talk to about the efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act and what that might mean for people and how they get their health care. And I didn't end up talking to her about that, but I did call her and we talked about a few different things. And she just mentioned this project that she had been working on with another health economist professor at Penn College. I went and met with them, and they told me that they had sort of identified this lack of knowledge and lack of understanding among the Hispanic seniors in New London that they talk to about what resources are out there for seniors and what help there is for people who want to for people who have elderly relatives, for example. So one of the things that came out of that project is that they're putting together a website that has sort of, it's easily usable and it has all the information and sort of practical advice for either for seniors or for people who are taking care of their elderly parents. It's in English and Spanish, and it's sort of available, and you know, you don't have to go anywhere to access the information. And one of the professors is also married to the director of an organization called the Hispanic Alliance in New London, who had been helping them out and who also has a perspective about sort of what is needed specific to the Hispanic senior population in New London.
We just heard from reporters Lindsay Boyle, Ben Kale, Kimberly Drellick, Erica Moser, Charlie Clark, and Martha Shanahan. You can see their staff profile over at theday.com/section/staff. Just wanted to remind you to check out our Trusting News project over at theday.com/trustingnews, as we hope to do better in explaining our journalistic process and to be more transparent and more accessible to our readers and listeners. There's a form at the bottom of that page where you can submit your feedback and let us know how we're doing. We'll try to respond to all your comments either through social media, stories, or here on the Storyline. As part of this Trusting News project, we'll be hosting a live Q&A on our Facebook page on Monday, December 11th at 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. We'll be taking questions and talking about our comments. Who is allowed to comment on theday.com? Why do we allow anonymous comments? And more. Join us.